It's Saturday, September 8, 2018, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shovlin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the literary news for the first full week of September 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from Mercury News. California passes the nation's toughest net neutrality law. Bill heads to governor. After a hard-fought battle, the nation's toughest net neutrality law passed in California on Friday and is headed to Governor Jerry Brown's desk, where a signature from the governor will restore tight internet regulations to the nation's most important market. The state Senate approved the bill 23-11 on Friday, a day after it passed in the state assembly. The bill initially was approved by the Senate in May, but had to return to the chamber Friday, the last day of the legislative session, after changes were made. Going into the legislative session this week, it was unclear whether the measure would get 41 votes, the minimum required to pass in the state assembly, but six Republicans voted for the bill after a contentious debate. Governor Brown's office said he would not be commenting on SB 822. He has not taken a public position on net neutrality. SB 822's key provisions include banning internet service providers from discriminating for or against certain types of online traffic and prohibiting abusive zero rating. Zero rating is when ISPs exempt certain types of online traffic from counting against customers' data caps. The bill was opposed by internet service providers and some chambers of commerce, which prefer federal regulations because they say state-by-state rules can be confusing and tough to implement. Opponents of net neutrality have long said they favor less regulation. They expressed disappointment over the vote. Also in the news on Sunday, from Bleeding Cool, controversial 1960s comic The Lonely War of Captain Willie Schultz finished and on Kickstarter. The Lonely War of Captain Willie Schultz was serialized in Charlton Comics Fighting Army number 76-92. It's seen a few reprints over the years, mostly recently, about 20 years ago. The Kickstarter aims not only to collect it in a hardcover edition, but also to feature a new ending, written by Will Franz, who wrote the original story when he was 16. From Book Riot, rest in peace to two Marvel Comics legends, creators of Spider-Woman and Ghost Rider. The comics world is in mourning after the back-to-back death announcements of two industry legends, Marie Severin and Gary Friedrich. From the bookseller, double gongs for SNS and PRH at Sainsbury's Children's Book Awards. Simon Schuster Children's and Penguin Random House Children's picked up two prizes each at this year's Sainsbury's Children's Book Awards. And finally on Sunday, from LitHub, on the kidnapped African boy who became a German philosopher, Kwame Anthony Appiah tells the tale of Ammo Afer.
Monday.
Top story from the New York Times, The Village Voice, a New York icon, closes. When Peter D. Barbie bought The Village Voice in 2015, he vowed to invest in the storied alternative weekly, saying it would survive and prosper. But last August, he shuttered the print edition, and on Friday, he closed the operation altogether. The end of the left-leaning independent publication was an anticlimax, given the many empty red plastic Village Voice boxes that have been scattered like debris across the sidewalks of Manhattan in recent years. "This is a sad day for the Village Voice and for millions of readers," Mr. Barbie said. "The Voice has been a key element of New York City journalism and is read around the world. As the first modern alternative newspaper, it literally defined a new genre of publishing." Staff members said they were not surprised that the end had come. The paper's last editor-in-chief, Stephen Mualim, the third top editor to serve under Mr. Barbie during his three-year tenure as owner, left in May and was not replaced. Also in the news on Monday from Az Barez, Friedman honored Sadarabad Bookstore as Small Business of the Year. Assemblymember Laura Friedman named Sadarabad Bookstore the 43rd Assembly District 2018 Small Business of the Year. Sardarabad Bookstore is an independent bookshop known for its wide selection of literature, particularly of Armenian educational, historical, cultural, and traditional works. From the bookseller, Rodney Burbeck dies. Burbeck, former editor of Publishing News, has died at the age of 78 after a long period of illness. From Surface at Syracuse University, the more things come, the more they stay the same, educational and disciplinary backgrounds of American libraries 1950 to 2015. The paper states discussions of diversity in American librarianship usually focus on gender or ethnicity, but historical studies also show a lack of diversity in educational and disciplinary backgrounds. And finally, on Monday from The Lily, the books Tarare Jones and Ann Patchett say remind them of fall. With August over, fall is most definitely on its way. As students head back to school, we're reminded of the rhythms and responsibilities of a new year. Soon the air will take on a chill and lazy evenings will be cut short, relegating summer trips and swimsuit tans to distant memory. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. This and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are brought to you by Audible. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21 and get your first month on the Audible service for free. That means you get your first download for free, and that audiobook is yours forever. Choose from over 180,000 titles. This past week, I was bouncing back and forth between Where No One Knows Your Name by John Feinstein, The Story of Minor League Baseball, Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey Chaucer, and Moneyball by Michael Lewis. But you can find many great works on Audible. Go through fiction, nonfiction, poetry, anything that might interest you, and I'm sure you'll find something there. So visit audibletrial.com/ace21 and get your first month for free. Stay with the service or not, that first audiobook you get is yours forever. So find something you'll love and put it in your ear. You'll love it. That's audibletrial.com/AS21.
Tuesday.
Top story from Playbill. 15 cities across U.S. to hold Band Together censorship concerts during Banned Books Week. Theater artists in 15 cities across the U.S. will unite during Banned Books Week, that's September 23rd to the 29th, for Band Together 2018, a series of censorship cabarets featuring material from plays and musicals that have been censored or challenged on American stages. Organized by the Dramatists Legal Defense Fund, the nonprofit organization that advocates on behalf of writers and other theater artists facing censorship, the concert series will kick off September 23rd in Atlanta, continuing throughout the week with performances taking place in Baltimore, Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Kansas City, Nashville, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, and more. Also in the news on Tuesday from the bookseller HarperCollins to give Scottish schools over £1 million worth of free books. HarperCollins' reading program, Collins Big Cat, has teamed up with the Scottish Sun to give primary schools in Scotland over £1 million worth of free books. From the New York Post, first edition of Pride and Prejudice is going up for auction. With over 20 million copies sold, auctioneers Bonhams hopes it will fetch between $17,400 to $23,390. From DigiDay, for some small sellers, Amazon loses its luster. Many small businesses are attracted to Amazon by its vast scale, but for some, the platform remains a frustration due to unresponsiveness and sudden policy changes. And finally on Tuesday from the Chicago Sun-Times, relocated archive opens history of Chicago and its parks to residents. The painstaking move of tens of thousands of drawings, texts, and pictures to the archives of the Chicago Public Library puts Chicagoans in closer contact with the history of their parks and the city that grew up around them.
Wednesday.
Top story from the New York Times, New Yorker Festival pulls Steve Bannon as headliner following high-profile dropouts. Stephen K. Bannon, President Trump's former chief strategist, will no longer appear as a headliner at this year's New Yorker Festival. David Remnick, the editor of the New Yorker, announced in an email to the magazine staff on Monday evening. The announcement followed several scathing rebukes and high-profile dropouts after the festival's lineup with Mr. Bannon featured was announced. Within 30 minutes of one another, John Mulaney, Judd Apatow, Jack Antonoff, and Jim Carrey said on social media that they would be pulling out of scheduled events at the festival. Right around the time when Mr. Remnick announced the cancellation of Mr. Bannon's participation, Patton Oswalt did the same. In Mr. Remnick's email to his staff, he said that even New Yorker staff members had expressed discomfort at the decision to invite Mr. Bannon to be interviewed at the festival. Mr. Bannon, who is in Venice for the screening of a new documentary about him by Errol Morris, said that Mr. Remnick called him on Monday to say he would no longer accommodate him at the festival. It was a swift and stunning turnabout for the festival, which is to take place in New York from October 5th to 7th. Also in the news on Wednesday from Forbes, why is the federal government threatening an indie book publisher with $100,000 in fines? Along with his husband, James Jenkins runs Valancourt Books, an independent print-on-demand publisher that specializes in reprinting long-lost works. But earlier this month, the U.S. Copyright Office demanded Valancourt hand over one copy of 240 different books from the publisher's collection for free. Failure to comply could result in fines of up to $250 per book, plus the book's retail price. From the bookseller, author launches new writing prize for thinking women. Author Kate Chagid has set up a new writing prize that aims to increase the visibility of women writers in the UK writing nonfiction works. From the News Observer, UNC Library Board says Silent Sam doesn't belong in Wilson or any of its libraries. The University of North Carolina Administrative Board, made up of elected faculty and appointed library staff, wrote that the Silent Sam Confederate statue would have a detrimental effect on the library's inclusive environment and could carry a fire risk to the priceless artifacts and papers housed within the building. And finally, on Wednesday from LitHub, every book tour should include a public school on making high schools into true literary spaces.
Thursday.
Top story from Vulture, J.D. Salinger's books are being reissued for a big centennial celebration. A famed recluse, J.D. Salinger probably would have hated being celebrated in any way, and yet celebration has come for him. In advance of the centennial of Salinger's birth on January 1st, 2019, Little Brown has announced plans to honor the author, including a special series of reissues of his work. As part of the event, the publisher is putting out a new set of Salinger's major works, The Catcher in the Rye, Nine Stories, Franny and Zoe, Raise High the Roof Beam, and Carpenters and Seymour, An Introduction. Vulture has an exclusive look at the covers of the new trade paperbacks. There will also be an unjacketed paperback set. Little Brown will release these editions in November this year, and they will be available throughout 2019. Also in the news on Thursday, you probably heard this story from CNN, Bob Woodward, Trump's aides stole his papers to protect the country. President Donald Trump's closest aides have taken extraordinary measures in the White House to try to stop what they say as his most dangerous impulses, going so far as to swipe and hide papers from his desk so he wouldn't sign them, according to a new book from legendary journalist Bob Woodward. From the bookseller, Book Launch magazine to offer paid-for book extracts. A new free magazine titled Book Launch will be launched later this month, aiming to recreate the experience of browsing a bookshop in print. From Princeton, Princeton University Library builds collection of newspapers published for African-American audiences. The collection features 72 newspapers from cities and towns in 32 states, ranging from New York City to Utah, Alabama. Including the collection, for example, are Hudson Valley Press from Newburgh, New York, Tuskegee News from Tuskegee, Alabama, Tri-City Voice from Fremont, California, African-American News and Issues from Houston, Texas, and Black Chronicle from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. From TV Line, Henry Cavill to star in The Witcher fantasy novel adaptation at Netflix. Described as an epic tale of fate and family, the streaming service's Witcher series follows Geralt of Rivia, Cavill, a solitary monster hunter who struggles to find his place in a world where people often prove more wicked than beasts. And finally on Thursday from LitHub, Walter Mosley, enough with the victors writing history. They burn whatever and whoever disagrees with your conception of the world. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by BookBite. School is back in session, so it's time to get your textbooks. Buy and sell today by visiting BookBite.com. If you're selling textbooks to BookBite, you only need a textbook title or ISBN. You'll see the copy of the textbook and how much they're offering for it. If you're happy with the price, click Continue Sale and complete the process. But you can also find cheap textbooks. With BookBite's comprehensive guide to getting textbooks for the lowest prices, you could save up to 90%. Check out their cheat sheet of the top 3 strategies for getting your textbooks cheap, plus read their comprehensive articles that cover every conceivable way of saving money on your textbooks. So go to the Literally This Week page on AS21 to click on the link for BookBite and buy and sell your textbooks today.
Friday.
Top story from The Guardian. Waterstones buys foils in face of Amazon's siren call. Waterstones is buying the historic family-owned book chain Foils in a surprise deal billed as an antidote to the siren call of online rival Amazon. The sale brings down the curtain on the independence of one of Britain's best-known bookselling dynasties, with Foils most famous for its Charing Cross Road branch in London. James Daunt, the managing director of Waterstones, made a pointed reference to the competitive threat posed by Amazon, which is being blamed for killing off the high street book trade. He said, "Together we'll be stronger and better positioned to protect and champion the pleasures of real bookshops in the face of Amazon's siren call." With 283 shops, Waterstones, which also owns Hatchards, is Britain's biggest book chain with £404 million in annual sales. Foils operates 7 branches, with 4 in London and the remainder in Birmingham, Chelmsford, and Bristol. The value of a deal has not been disclosed, but Daunt said he has been approached by Foils to acquire the company. Foils is controlled by its Monaco-based chairman, Christopher Foyle, who is the grandson of one of the founders. Also in the news on Friday from the AP, Twitter permanently bans Alex Jones and InfoWars, citing abuse. The company said Jones won't be able to create new accounts on Twitter or take over any existing ones. In a tweet, it said it would continue to monitor reports about other accounts potentially associated with Jones or InfoWars, and will take action if it finds any attempts to circumvent the ban. From JSTOR Daily, some books can kill. Poisonous green pigments laced with arsenic were once a common ingredient in book bindings, paints, wallpapers, and fabrics. Yikes. Also from The Guardian, Elizabeth Siddal, pre-Raphaelite muse, finally gets her own voice 150 years after death. Best known as the model for Millais' much-loved Ophelia painting, a new book hopes to foreground her own work as a poet. From the bookseller, JMP reveals indies-only edition of Hawking's final book. John Murray is releasing a special edition of Stephen Hawking's final book, Brief Answers to the Big Questions, exclusively with independent bookshops. And finally on Friday from LitHub, how to open a bookstore in rural Scotland. Learning the hard way why George Orwell disliked being a bookseller.
Saturday.
Top story from the Calgary Herald, digital record made of ancient Northwest Indigenous art lost in museum fire. Centuries-old artifacts from the Pacific Northwest coast are among items lost in the recent fire that destroyed the National Museum of Brazil. But a museum curator in Vancouver says the North American works will live on through digitization. Karen Dufek, a curator with the Museum of Anthropology at the University of British Columbia, says about 40 Northwest Coast items, including more than 300-year-old piece of Tlingit armor from Alaska, burned in Sunday's blaze. The set of armor, which is made of wooden slats and a kind of twine or cordage, and painted, probably dates to the late 1700s, she said in a telephone interview. Research had not likely been done to determine the lineage of the warrior who owned the armor, said Dufek, calling the artifact quite a rare thing. A Russian consul sent the armor to the Portuguese royal family as a gift in the early 1800s, she said, and from there it found its way to the museum in Rio de Janeiro. Another curator at the university working with the Brazil Museum had managed to digitize 42 pieces before the fire, posting pictures and exact details about the armor, several artifacts from the Aleutian Islands, some Haida bowls, and a box. Dufek described the result as a digital portal. That portal to the Reciprocal Research Network links to 30 museums around the world, and Dufek said it is designed so that indigenous artists and community researchers can digitally access their heritage, no matter where it is located. Also in the news on Saturday from Quartz, the top publisher on Facebook last month was LADBible.com. Facebook craves credibility, but the top publisher last month for the 1.5 billion daily users on the social media network, the British site LADBible, is unlikely to deliver it. From the bookseller, Brooke Meyer and coming up for 2018 McIlvany Prize. Two previous winners have made the four-strong shortlist for this year's 1,000-pound McIlvany Prize for Scottish Crime Book of the Year, alongside Lynn Anderson and Liam McIlvany. From a nation out of Kenya, shock in Migori County as unknown people buy all newspapers. For the last 2 days, newspaper readers in Migori County have not laid their hands on the local dailies. The residents said that unknown people have been buying all the newspapers by 6 a.m. The residents wondered who was behind the buying of the newspapers and why. However, a number of people have linked scarcity to the murder of Ms. Sharon Atieno, the Rongo University student whose body was found in Kodera Forest in Homa Bay County earlier this week. Finally on Saturday from Global Voices, students illustrate injustice and human rights abuses in the Philippines through the arts. A group of Filipino high school students has reacted to the Philippines' deteriorating human rights situation through the creation of powerful visual imagery. And we have one listener submission this week from the Authors Guild. Authors Guild submits brief to the Supreme Court. On Tuesday, the Authors Guild, along with 12 other artists' rights organizations, filed a Friend of the Court briefing encouraging the Supreme Court to rule that creators can bring suit after they have submitted a copyright application to the Copyright Office, instead of waiting until after the Copyright Office has completed the application process. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer. Get your tickets now for Interlude to Sentimental Me, the stage play adapted from the poetry of Astronom creative Michael B. Judkins. There will be two performances, September 15th and 22nd, at Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, at 3 p.m. Get your tickets today through Eventbrite. Tickets start at $15 with discounts for seniors and children. Or get the special VIP offer for just $75. You get two tickets to either performance, plus dinner after the show. Find out today. Go to as21.com/creative/Judkins for the link. Or look it up on Eventbrite, or join us on the 15th or 22nd to see this new production of a stage play based on AS21 creative Michael B. Judkins' poetry, Interlude to Sentimental Me, at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem. Get your tickets today.
Hello, this is Fiona the AS21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 1st of September. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2. Magic Triumphs by Ilona Andrews. Hardcover fiction number 1, The Fall of Gondolin by J.R.R. Tolkien. Number 2, Texas Ranger by James Patterson and Andrew Burrell. Paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, China Rich Girlfriend by Kevin Kwan. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, The Restless Wave by John McCain and Mark Salter. Number 2, Educated by Tara Westover. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, The Restless Wave by John McCain and Mark Salter. Number 2, The Russia Hoax by Greg Jarrett. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Number 2, Grit by Angela Duckworth. Young Adult Hardcover number 1, The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. Number 2, Children of Blood and Bone by Tommy Adeyemi. And to the Amazon charts for the week starting the 2nd of September. The most sold books on Amazon are fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. Nonfiction number 1, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. Number 2, Educated by Tara Westover. This J.R.R. Tolkien looks promising. I wonder how long he'll stay on the list. Now back to Keith for the home report.
Thank you, Fiona, and now for the home report. This past week, we announced the bestsellers for AS21 for the month of August. Eileen Vega was our best-selling author with her book Dating as Told by the Modern Horror burning up the ebook sales, and the re-release of Thomas P. Etheridge's American Prisoners of War was the best-selling print book. Visit market.as21.com to pick up your copies today. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now. Visit surveys.as21.com and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also, take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, or whatever podcast service you're listening to and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing? Leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much? Leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. Submissions are still open for the 2018 AS21 Annual, extended through September 15th. We'll be taking submissions of short stories, essays, photography, art, poetry, and more. Visit as21.com/annual for more information. In the week ahead, we'll announce a new partnership for AS21 with some new offerings we're sure you'll love. Find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. The World's Only Podcast will be released on Monday. Our thoughtful commentators Ian Roberts and Joshua Silverman comb through the August headlines to share their unique insight. Find The World's Only on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Delayed from Friday, the next chapter of the Publish Me podcast will be released this week as Paul Ron and I continue to update you on the ending of The World of Magi and discuss paid artists for their work. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. On Tuesday, the next edition of the Passion on the Page poetry podcast will be released. Find Passion on the Page on SoundCloud, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Wednesday, there will be a special release from our audio staff through ePress 21. Check out ePress21.tumblr.com, and then visit ePress21.com to let us know how we can help you with your story. On Saturday, the first performance of the Interlude Sentimental Me stage play will be at 3 p.m. at Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Tickets are still available through Eventbrite. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/AS21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?